Good morning to Every Nation Church Penang. Welcome to our 10 a.m. service. And today we're going to be continuing our topic on Romans. Okay? So let's have a recap. Okay? So we are currently here in the Gospel Express. Okay? So if you will notice, the first 11 chapters of Romans is most of it is about preaching, giving instruction. But in the Romans 12:16, you will see there that this is the time that Paul is challenging us. Are you ready to apply what he has been preaching to you? Maybe you can ask your neighbor, are you ready to apply what the Lord is teaching you in your lives? Because you know why? After you have applied it, in education, you will always see it is best that when someone is able to apply the things that he or she has learned. But after that, it's when you can transfer what you have learned to others is the next step. So are we ready to apply it to our lives? Now, we are now here in Romans 14 to 15. So bear with me. This is a long one, two chapters. The Lord has given me two long chapters to study. Okay, so praise the Lord. So welcome others. Okay, so let's all stand up and let's read the Holy Word of God as we give reverence to His holy words. Romans 15:5-7. Let's all read. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much that you have gathered us again here in this place, O Lord God, to worship you, O Lord God, to bless you, O Lord God, to hear, Lord, your instruction, O Lord. And Lord, I pray, please help us, O Lord, understand what you are preaching us today. Help us, Lord, to apply them, Lord, in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to understand and hide them in our hearts, O Lord God, that we may walk uprightly before you. Lord, we commit to you, Lord, this message today. Please use me, Lord, as your messenger, O Lord God, to be your voice to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sit. The title that I have given for this topic today is the welcoming church. Okay? And anybody, okay, do you have this kind of rag at your home? I'm sharing this because it is whenever you are looking for a house, What's the first thing that is in your mind? Are the facilities good? Correct? Or does it have a lift? Does it have parking, right? Is it conducive for your children, for your family, right? Those are the questions that you will ask first when you are looking for a house. But when I am looking for a house, the first thing that I will ask the Lord, Lord, lead me to a house where this house can be used for life group. This house can be used for Bible study. This house that I will be taking, Lord, lead me where you will use this for your purpose. That's the first thing that I will ask for. And that is what God wants you to seek Him first. What's the purpose of you having your house? What's the purpose of having that place that you will live? It's not just for your own. So that it can be open for everyone to be blessed. Everyone, anyone who will come in it. And now, you will see here, okay, the word welcome, okay, a kind greeting or reception. If it's a noun, okay, it's a kind greeting or reception as one to whose arrival gives pleasure to give someone with a warm welcome. Okay. And if it is a verb, it means to greet the arrival of a person or guest with pleasure and kind courtesy. You don't go, okay, come to my house and then, come. There's no one that welcomes there. Just sit there. You're reluctant. You want to be hospitable, right? When you're inviting someone to your house. And when you are welcoming, it's an adjective. It means behaving in a polite or friendly manner to a guest or a new arrival. Are we friendly? Are we inviting? Are we courteous? Are we giving a kind greeting whenever we are inviting persons into our homes? Let's have a self-evaluation. Okay? If for those of you who missed worship prayer night last Wednesday, rather than having a selfie, we're going to have a self-e. Okay? Thanks to my sister April for that. Self-evaluation. Okay? Do we possess a welcoming attitude as Christians? Ask yourselves. Why? Because what you're learning today, okay, can benefit our church. What we're learning today can benefit your life group. What you're learning today can benefit your family. And what you're learning today can benefit you as an individual. So four things. Imagine one lesson, four different applications. That's up to you. Okay, you have to ask yourselves, okay, do we possess a welcoming attitude needed as a Christian or needed as Christians? Now, we will be focusing today on eight attitudes that welcome others, okay, that you can use for your church, for the life group, for your family, as an individual. Okay? Let's get ready. So the first attitude is be welcoming. Okay? This is the very first point that you need to understand, because you cannot be welcoming when you're not welcoming. Okay? If you're, I don't want my furniture to be ruined by kids. I don't want to wash a lot of dishes. I don't want to clean. No, when you're hosting, right, you're going to clean the house before and after. And if your attitude is like that, oh, my furniture, they're going to get ruined, right? Or my place is just too small. I don't want any guests. The first attitude that you need to develop is be welcoming. Okay, let's look at Romans 14, verse 1 to 4. Okay? As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not quarrel over opinions. And then, what I like about this 14 and 15 chapters is that whenever there is a point that Paul wants to say. He always gives example before and after. And you will see here, the example here is that one person believes that he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Take note, it is God who welcomes people inside the church. God uses people that is around that person to bring that person to church or to your life group, into your family, or to you as an individual, maybe new friends. It is God who brings them to you. And then who are you to pass judgment on the servant or another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For the Lord is able to make him stand. It is the Lord who makes him stand. It is the Lord who has welcomed him. Therefore, we need to be welcoming as Christians. Now the question is, sometimes, right? If you are a Hindu before and you became a Christian, you don't eat beef. And some of you, some are vegetarians. Right? And they don't eat any meat. And then there are some, the Seventh-day Adventists, and when they become Christians, what happens? They still don't eat pork. You don't force them to eat. You don't force them what you're eating. You just have to respect them. They still glorify God. If your friend or your guest is still weak in faith, the Lord is telling you, encourage that person. Welcome that person. And this is the next step. Don't be judgmental. The first step is welcoming, but the next step that is also as important as after being welcoming is the Lord wants you to be not judgmental. Tell to your neighbor, don't be judgmental. Okay. Who is judgmental here? Sometimes, right, we are judgmental. I know. Okay, we are judgmental from time to time. Okay, so the Bible says, don't be judgmental. Okay, why? Okay, there are three verses that in Romans 14:3, verse 10, verse 13 says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Okay, number two, at verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Who are we to judge? And then, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one way or any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Are we judgmental? Bible says very clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5 says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say on your brother, let me take the speck of your eye, then there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Imagine that. Whenever you're pointing your finger to someone, always remember how many is pointing to you. Three. So don't be judgmental. Maybe someone is hosting. Oh, the place is too small. We cannot go. Oh, it's so filthy. That person just invited you and you're judging them. Oh, that's so filthy. It's so smelly. Don't be judgmental. And you will see here in the next slide, there are 9 ways to being less judgmental. Okay? So, accept people. These people are not perfect. Embrace these people. Think differently than you. Then so on and so forth. God is telling us, don't be judgmental. Everyone is called by God. In heaven, there will be different nationalities. We're not all Chinese or Malaysians. We're not all Indians, Filipinos, or other nationalities. But we are all in one nation under God. Therefore, you have to learn to accept your brother and sister in Christ for who he is. Each one is special in front of God. Number 3. Edify one another. In Romans 14, verse 19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things of which one may edify another. And in Romans 15, verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Maybe some of you will say, oh, that's a very big word, edify, edification. Here, edification. It is an improvement, an instruction, or enlightenment, and especially when morally or spiritual uplifting. So it means teaching each other. Edifying is teaching each other so that your brother, your sister will become mature as a Christian. That's the purpose of this church. That's the purpose of your family. That's your purpose as an individual. That's the purpose of our life group, is to uplift each one spiritually. And this is the, I like this when I was studying this. It means oikodome in Greek. Okay? It can mean physical building or an act of building. So edifying means building up, enlightening, and informing. A sense of actively contributing to a person's spiritual betterment or enlightenment, increasing in wisdom. Spiritual betterment. So attend your life groups. Attend church. Because it is beneficial for your spiritual enlightenment. That is edification. So let us edify. Teach each one. Make someone better. In our school, what happens is that as I am teaching, one teacher of mine will be watching me. And then, vice versa, I will go to their classroom, watch them. Why? Because we are going to teach each other on what are weaknesses, what are our strengths, and then we're going to build up each other. That's how you build up each other's others as well. You don't need to have an onion skin when, oh, this person tells something bad of me, I don't want to attend life group anymore. There are some people like that, but you have to understand that your brother, your sister is helping you for you to become a better Christian. Because that is edification. So you help each other. It's like push and pull. Mutual beneficiary. That is edification. Attitude number 4. God wants you to live in harmony with one another. Wow, this is challenging. Of all the places in the world, sometimes the church has the worst politics. Sometimes your life group has the worst politics of all. It has all the tears, it has all the friction. But what God is telling us and challenging us, live in harmony with one another. Yes, surely there will be small problems. Yes, there will be tears. Yes, there will be friction. But those things make you a better person. Those things will make your friendship stronger. Those bonds, those things makes you a better group, a better church. Look at husbands and wives. It's not always a walk in the park. It's not always dating. It's not always bed of roses. There are days that it is like storms and clouds. But what happens when there are those storms and clouds, and when they start dancing together, they become a very strong couple. That is part of growing up. It nurtures relationships. The same also in the church, the same also in your life groups, the same also in your family. Those are the things that will make your bond stronger. Harmony. And then you will see here that I like this picture because it has a lot of instruments, different instruments. This is an orchestra. And the church is like that. It's like an orchestra. Short, tall, white skin, dark skin, everybody is in the church. And harmony means a pleasant musical sound made by different notes being played or sung at the same time. God gave us individual talents. God gave us individual capabilities so that we could harmonize together. Next, agreement or ideas or feelings or actions or a pleasing combination of different parts. Okay? A combination of separate but related parts in a way that uses their similarities to bring unity to painting, drawing, or other art objects. That's my expertise. You might not know, but every piece that God is putting in this church, in your lives, will create a beautiful artwork that will honor Him. And the situation in which people live or work happily together without any big problems. Problems are always present. But God is telling us we can live in harmony together. Now, you will see in Romans 15, 5 to 6, Paul is challenging us, live in such harmony with what? One another. In accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that. When you hear a harmony, this band of musicians together, and they harmonize together, they create one voice. And the Lord is challenging us as a church to be of one voice. When we start harmonizing together as a church, as an individual, as a life group, what happens is that you will have one voice that will glorify God. And that is what we need to do. We exist to honor God and make disciples, and we will honor God if the whole church has one harmony. That's very important. Harmony. Next one. Receive one another. That's attitude number 5. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ received us. to the glory of God. Now I say, Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. When you are receiving your brother and sister in Christ, there's one thing that is happening. You are becoming a servant. When you are inviting people to your home, you want to serve them, correct? You want to cook for them. For my life group, I always want to cook for my life group. If I am not tired, I will be cooking for my life group. And whenever I have a guest at my house, I will love to cook for all of my guests. Why? It's because it is part of being a servant. It should be automatic. When you are welcoming someone, you want that guest to be pampered. Why? And there's a result, that the Gentiles might glorify God. You are glorifying God when you are practicing servanthood towards your brothers and sisters. So that's what God wants you to do. When you welcome others into your life, into your church, into your life group, you are becoming a servant. We need to have a servant attitude, because when you have that servant attitude, you glorify God. Attitude 6. Of course, if you have that 1 to 5 perfected already, it is a very good company already. Correct? But what God is telling us is that, are you going to limit it to your circle? God is challenging us, expand your circle. We have to lead others to Jesus Christ. It's not always like this. Okay, I'm comfortable with this. Sometimes, okay, you need to, it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge for you to expand your life group. It's a challenge also that you as leaders, you as members of the church have that kind of thinking that I need to share Christ to others. Because you don't want that blessing to be on you alone, on your group alone. That's very selfish. God wants you to expand so that those that is outside the circle will also be beneficial, will also benefit the salvation of Jesus Christ, the grace that comes from Him, and the eternity that Jesus offers. You want that circle to expand. So lead others to Jesus Christ. And you will see here in Romans 15, verse 18 to 19, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word. I have fulfilled my ministry of the gospel. In verse 20, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has been named. And in verse 21, those who have been told of Him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. God is telling us, preach, expand, lead other people to Jesus Christ. Attitude 7. Sometimes this is difficult, correct? Aid one another. You can open everything up, but when it comes to your wallet, it's difficult. It will. You might say, oh, the budget will be affected. But the Lord is telling us, aid one another. Help one another. You will see here, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. Have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor. And then to be the service of to them in material blessings. God wants you to be a blessing to others. God wants you to aid each other. God wants you to be a blessing to others. So that it's also a way of leading others to Christ. You know, during the pandemic, some of you here is sending money to me, and then what we're doing is that we're gonna buy groceries. We're gonna go house to house. We're gonna go house to house, and then we're gonna bring food, groceries to those who are in need. Especially there's a lot of Filipinos who lost their jobs as well during that time. Some went home already, but we managed to help them. And that also opened to preach the gospel to them. I still remember that there was one time that there's a group of Filipinos in BM lost all of their jobs. They were at their house, around 15 to 20 of them. They have no more food. We went there, we gave them groceries, we preached the gospel. And then we have Bible study there, life group there, every Sunday. So after church, we're going to go there and preach to them until they manage, until they return to the Philippines. Aid. Give aid to one another. That aid will also lead others to Christ. Be a blessing. And lastly, pray for one another. It's very important. Sometimes randomly, someone will approach me, and then the Lord will just tell to my heart, pray for this person. Just pray for that person. God wants you to be prayerful, praying for each other. In your life group, are you praying for each other? You know, whenever we finish eating, after hearing God's word, the next part of our life group will always be praying. We'll pray for each other, and then I will close and bless the whole life group. Pray for each other. It's very important. You will see here, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Why? Because you will see here that he may be delivered from the unbelievers of Judea. My service for Jerusalem, okay, and that I may come with joy and be refreshed in your company. There's a lot of blessings there. Protection, blessings, refreshment. If your brother or sister is getting weak in faith, the best thing that you could do is pray for that person. Knowing that our God is almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He alone can solve your brother or your sister's problems in life. So pray for one another. So, as I close today, 8 attitudes that welcome others, that you can use for your family, for your church, for your life group, and as an individual. Be welcoming, don't be judgmental, edify one another, live in harmony with one another, receive one another, lead others to Jesus Christ, aid one another, and pray for each other. Church, the challenge that I will give you today is, are you ready to become a welcoming church? Are you ready? Because once you have applied this in your life, the next phase is for others, is that you will be teaching others. Let's all stand up and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today, for challenging us, O Lord, to be a welcoming church. I pray, O Lord God, what we learned today, O Lord God, instill in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to apply what we have learned today in our church, in our life group, in our families, and as an individual, O Lord. I pray, O Lord God, as we do these things, O Lord God, we will glorify you, Lord. That the people around us, Lord, will be amazed. What is different in this group of people? And I pray, O Lord God, help us, Lord, to apply your words in our lives. Lord, I pray as we leave this place today, bless us, O Lord. Bless each and every one of us, O Lord, exceedingly, abundantly, and overflowingly. Cover them, Lord, with your precious blood. Keep us away from any sickness or illnesses. Keep us away from any accidents or harm. Keep us away from any danger or evil men. And I pray, O Lord God, bless this church, O Lord, to be a welcoming church. To give you, Lord, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.